We're going to take the whole network right to the bottom of the hour, which is 8 minutes from now, and then we will continue with the Blue Jays talk on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, until 11 o'clock Eastern time. So if you're listening outside the Toronto area, you will be able to get us on sportsnet590.ca, Rogers Digital Cable Channel 904, or your Rogers Radio app after we pass the bottom of the hour. Let's take one call, though, before we go. Carlos is in Richmond Hill, listening on our flagship Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hello, Carlos.
Hey, Mike, I think I'll get the obvious question out of the way right out of the gates on the first call. Where the heck did these two guys want Perez? And Neil Wagner was looking like Billy Wagner, 98 miles an hour. Where'd they get these guys?
Well, they got them both. They got Perez on waivers from the Phillies in the offseason, and they got Wagner as a minor league free agent in the offseason. Like I said when we were talking about the player of the game stuff, these guys have combined for 22 seasons in the pros and about 32 innings in the major leagues.
I know one night does not make a career, but certainly these guys did not look like they would be going back down anytime soon the way they were throwing tonight.
They didn't look out of place at all. They looked like there were no nerves. They looked fantastic. I have to tell you, Neil Wagner did look this good in the early part of the spring, so much so that second week of March we were talking about him as a dark horse to maybe make the team. And then he had a couple of outings in which he blew up real good. So, you know, you have a feeling that's what's kept these guys from really establishing themselves as major leaguers, is that they can do this. They've got it in them, but to this point, they haven't been able to do it on a regular basis.
You can never have enough arms in the bullpen, so it's a good sign. I wanted one quick comment and then a statement that I want to hear your thoughts on.
What's the difference between a comment and a statement, by the way?
No, probably nothing.
Okay.
A lot of people have been critical of Bonifacio. I almost called him Bonacrapio because that's what people were referring to him as. I thought he had one of his best games of the season. He had two hits, a stolen base, and a couple of nice defensive plays. The statement I wanted to make was, I think tomorrow becomes the most important game in the season. You've got your ace going. It's probably Atlanta's ace, and you have a chance to take 3 out of 4 from a division leader and get 6 games within 500, which I don't think they've been that close in a long time. So I think tomorrow becomes one of those games where if they're going to get back in this, you really need Dickey to go 7 or 8 innings and put them in a position to take the series.
I honestly think pretty much every game is the biggest game of the season from here on out. But you're right, tomorrow could be a statement game, and the Blue Jays hope to see a statement from R.A. Dickey, who hasn't been as bad as most people think he's been, I have to tell you. I know people, the idea is that he's been this massive disappointment and he's been terrible and all of that stuff. He hasn't been terrible. He just hasn't been anywhere near Cy Young caliber. So it would be great to see him go out there. But this is a shorthanded Blue Jays team, and especially without a DH. So I don't know. I don't know what you can expect from them. But then again, I don't know what you could have expected from them tonight. And 8 singles was enough to get them a win with a tremendous pitching performance. As far as Bonifacio goes, it really does. I mean, it kills me how quick people are to pass judgment on people and say how terrible they are. And it's you know, we're going to get so many calls tonight about how fantastic Juan Perez and Neil Wagner are based off of one outing. The judgment's made off Bonifacio off of 1 month. I'll tell you this. On May 11th, Bonifacio was put into the lineup on an everyday basis. He was hitting 165 with a 481 OPS. In his last 15 games since being put on the lineup as an everyday player, Bonifacio is hitting 300 with an OPS closing in on 800. He's a talented ball player, and he's going to be good, and he's going to be good for a while for this team. Thanks for the call. We'll have more to the calls on the other side on the flagship station, and we'll come back and check the scoreboard and all kinds of stuff. Blue Jays beat the Braves 3-0. It's a Honda postgame show on the Home Hardware Blue Jays Radio Network. Blue Jays shut out the Braves 3-0. Phenomenal job in relief by Juan Perez. 8 up, 8 down. And by Neil Wagner, who throws two innings of one-hit shutout. Quick look at the scoreboard. It's all interleague. Check the American League East. Mets beat up on the Yankees 9-4. Orioles took down the Nationals 9-6, despite three home runs from Ryan Zimmerman. The Tampa Bay Rays beat the Miami Marlins by a score of 3-1, and it was Boston falling 4-3 to the Phillies. Jays and Braves at it again tomorrow. R.A. Dickey and Mike Minor. We're on at 7 Eastern. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Jack Morris, Tom Young, Dan Riccio, and Joe Sicilia, I'm Mike Wilner. Good night.
One offering, ground ball hit up along first base, taken by Rogers, comes to the plate, runs the runner Freeman back toward third and reaches out, tags him out. What a play by Rogers as the other runners hold at first and second.
Terrific play by Esmiel Rogers. Gives up the leadoff triple there in the second inning, and it doesn't score because he does a great job running down Freddie Freeman. He could have flipped to J.P. Arencibia, but he didn't because he realized he was closer to the plate than Freeman was, and he just outran him back to third base. Great job by Esmiel Rogers. Great job by Juan Perez, Neil Wagner, and Casey Jansen comes out and throws a perfect ninth inning for his 12th save. The Blue Jays take down the Atlanta Braves 3-0 and go for the sweep of this two-game series tomorrow night with R.A. Dickey on the mound. We are still waiting to hear, by the way, just the 11th save for Jansen, not the 12th. We're still waiting to hear of a roster move. I expect that the Blue Jays will be farming out Todd Redmond and bringing up Andy LaRoche, but nothing is official yet. They would have to make room on the 40-man roster to have LaRoche come up, but that's something that's far from impossible to do. Phone lines are open, 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Let's go out to St. John, New Brunswick. Bob, listening on Sportsnet590.ca. Welcome to the program. Hello, Bob. I don't know if Bob's there or not, but I can't hear him. Let's see what Dan Riccio and Joe Sicilia have set up for us. I guess Bob's not there. Let's try Mike in, I'm going to say, Midland. Welcome to the Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hi, yeah. It's Midland just at the bottom of Georgian Bay.
Very nice.
What a great game. That is so refreshing. And this team, I got to say, they've got heart. After losing an extra innings last night, Atlanta Braves just must be scratching their head going, wow, this team is better than just a basement dweller. They got something going here. And tomorrow night, that's going to be a real good game too.
One hopes so. And anyone with half a brain knows that the Blue Jays are certainly not. I mean, they're in the basement right now, but the quality of this team is much higher than that. So I'm sure that...
Especially the last couple of weeks have just been really cool. This team's coming together, and all those people who were on the bandwagon and jumped off, I think they're going to get back on it.
They will eventually. The Blue Jays have won now 13 of their last 22, which... I don't know if it sounds good or not, but over the course of a full season, it's really, really good. That's a 96-win pace. So,
And
more importantly, they're just playing well. You can see it. They're not done early. They're not kicking the ball all around the field. This has come around.
Yeah, 13-22, and the ones that they lost, they were still somewhere in it. You know, there
weren't any big
blowouts or anything like that, so... This is good. This is a good team, and it's too bad about the injuries, but that's the way that ball bounces in C'est la vie, so just keep on rolling along. And after last night's extra inning loss, you know, this is great for the team.
Yeah, it is. This was a tremendous game. It really was. I mean, well played all over the place. The pitching was just brilliant. Some great defense at times, and the big hit when they needed it. The Blue Jays only had one hit tonight, with runners in scoring position. But it was huge. It was the two-out, two-run single by Cabrera in the second inning. Thanks for the call, Mike. Michael is in Atlanta. Really? Welcome to the program, Michael.
Hey, how are you doing? You looked busy on your BlackBerry there, pregame tweeting and stuff, but, you know, so I saw you tonight.
That's what I do.
Well, I
got to get the info out to the people.
Yeah, well, I've got to figure out the info, too, because, you know, I'm sitting there at the park and watching things, but don't know what's going on. Had no clue who our pitchers were that we were called up. Like, you know, made the drive down from Kentucky today, but I got to say, you know, just impressive overall. First of all, Ismael just really, you know, gave him everything he had. I was saying four innings max with him. You know, that was my hope going into the game. I mean, he may not got that close, but you know what? He did everything he could to get it. I realized the pitch count was up, watching the pitch count there. But, man, Perez and Wagner, wow. I mean, you know, I know the Jays have some arms that were ahead of them depth-wise when the season started, and I know that, you know, we've got some really good guys like Oliver that are banged up right now, and we just needed some help. But, man, Perez and Wagner, if what they did tonight it's just a taste of what we can see from them. I think these kids have, you know, I know there was talk about sending somebody down to add another bench player, but I think these two kids did everything they could to make the case to stick around for a little bit. Just a big shot in the arm tonight for both of them.
Yeah, I agree completely, and I do think they're going to add a bench player, but not at the expense of either one of these guys, and it really is something. You know, Darren Oliver and Sergio Santos are on the DL, but Steve Delabar and Brett Cecil have stepped in to do the job that the Blue Jays hoped they would get from Santos and Oliver. Casey Jansen has been phenomenal. He's set down like 25 of the last 27 batters he's faced or something like that. So if Wagner and Perez, even for a short stint, can do what the Jays hoped Delabar and Cecil were going to do, behind Aaron Loop as the fifth and sixth arms out of the bullpen, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah,
again, it was a great night tonight.
I liked how Wagner worked off his fastball and put, you know, the two strikeouts he put away were change ups. Just really nice location and had those guys out in front. That was really impressive. And from there, pregame, hey, Kawasaki is a rock star around here now. Everybody was yelling for him to sign, and he looked at us and said, I don't speak English, I'm Japanese, which we all found funny, and then he bowed to us. So, you know, Kawasaki, the energy that he brings is pretty impressive, too. I mean, really, you take away the 4-14 stretch, it's been a pretty good team. And I think, you know, we got 13 left with Houston and Minnesota. You're about ready to get out of that really, really tough part of the schedule. Get Reyes back. Get Lurie healthy. This team can really do some stuff in the second half.
We shall see. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch, I think, Michael, and I agree with you. A lot more fun than all the people who jumped off the bandwagon 3 weeks ago thought it might be. Got to let you go because your phone is terrible, but we kept you around because you had good stuff to say. We will take more phone calls. We have an update coming up. So we'll fill you in on all the sports news you need to know. Then more of your phone calls after Andrew Nye drops his brilliance upon you. At 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, long distance 1-888-666-0590. It is the Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Full count pitch struck him out. Upton goes up and away, chasing a fastball at 92. Strikeout number 3 for Perez, one down.
Swing and a miss. Wagner struck him out. So there you go. There's your 87-mile-an-hour pitch there, too. Nice breaking ball to get Ugla after the steady diet of fastball.
It was a rough night to be in Upton as Justin and BJ combined to go 0-for-7 tonight with 5 strikeouts. At one point, they were 0-for-5 with 5 Ks before BJ flied out to right field against Neil Wagner. Rough night to be an Upton, great night to be a Blue Jays reliever who was a Buffalo Bison yesterday. No roster move for the Blue Jays. I expected Todd Redmond to be farmed out, but I'm informed now that there will be no moves tonight. So the Blue Jays will come back tomorrow with R.A. Dickey on the mound and with eight guys in the bullpen and no Andy LaRoche, unless they change their mind and decide to make a move this morning or tomorrow morning. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk, taking your phone calls at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We go to Terry in London. You're on the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hello, Mike.
Hello, Terry.
What a great game.
That it was.
It was reminiscent of the 92-93 parades that I celebrated down there in Toronto on Yonge Street. But this team is starting to come together, and I think we're starting to see that as far as these pitchers that came up, they actually gelled together. And
well, they pitched really well. I don't think there was any gelling together. I think they
just came out and Rogers pitched well. Rogers and Perez going six innings, and then Wagner, and then Jensen, if he can give him any lead at all, he's proven himself, 11-0.
Yep.
And
but
if they can get some runs, if they can get some runs early in the game and make these, teams look at these pitchers. I was absolutely amazed with Perez tonight.
Could you not be? I mean, he was phenomenal.
The movement on his ball.
Yep.
But Rogers also doing his job bunting twice.
Yep.
That was and then also getting that runner back at third. It's just amazing, you know, if these guys can just actually just keep this up, we're going to be there.
Yeah, there's no question. If they can keep this up, they'll be just fine. You know, it's going to take a while to get back to 500, and there are going to be bumps along the road. It's like I said 2 weeks ago, it's a long, slow climb, and they were 10-21, and now they're 23-30, and they're not going to be 30-30, and they might not be 40-40. But they will, if they keep playing well, eventually get back to 500, and then you can start looking at a chance to make a real serious move.
Where do you see them at the break?
I have no idea.
I see 500 or above.
I hope so. I hope so. You would hate to think that they're still kind of trying to climb back by the All-Star break, but by then they'll have Josh Johnson back. They'll have Brett Laurie back. They'll have Jose Reyes back. You would hope that Brandon Morrow would be past whatever's bothering him now. They might have Jay Happ back as well to kind of stabilize the rotation, and they should have Sergio Santos back. So, you know, the Blue Jays might be getting the biggest trade deadline boost of any team in the major leagues.
Well, you know, if these players do come back, and I know they will by the break, you know, it's just amazing what potential this team has.
Absolutely the case. But first, they have to get back to 500. Thank you, Terry. Appreciate the call. It is the Blue Jays Talk. I know the complainers can't call tonight because they won and it was a fantastic game. So that does leave some phone lines open from people who actually smile from time to time at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. A phenomenal game by the pitching rotation, by the pitching staff tonight. Esmil Rogers, then Juan Perez, Neil Wagner, handing it over to Casey Jansen, who pitches a 1-2-3 third inning. Adam, in Toronto, you're on the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
I'm joking. I'm not it was very, very nice to see us shut out, which is so unusual.
Yeah, it's only the second time the Blue Jays have done it this year.
The thing, this was a classic National League game.
Was it?
Yeah. Well, you get the two innings are tough, and then the one inning where the pitcher comes up, and it's always, what do they average, one run less per game in the National League?
Which I don't know if it's that much, but what, besides the pitchers hitting, what was so National League-y about this game?
Well, because because it was low scoring and it was all about defense, because you can't, you lose the rhythm. That's what I see. I think it's crazy. I mean, I think that, that, you know, every other league you play with the batter, with the designated hitter, and this league decides it's not going to.
Well, it's that every other league decided that it was going to, right?
Right. Well,
they're
yeah.
the lone holdout.
Right. And you know, and you, and look how well it's done for them. But it's
seems to be doing fine for them.
Well, have they, how many World Series have they won since?
Well, they've won two of the last three, at least.
Right.
Well, they've won their fair share.
Okay. It's a great debate. We can decide which. I don't know
if it's a great debate. I think I agree with you. I think it's just stupid.
Yeah. The other thing tonight is just, and this is the one thing is, this is, quote, rival. How did Atlanta become our rivalry team?
This is prime rivals week in Major League Baseball. We don't have a rival. Once the Expos moved, and Baltimore and Washington are like closer than Toronto and Buffalo, that became the rival. So the Blue Jays don't have a rival, so they always give the Jays the Braves or the Phillies, because that's who they played in the World Series. Sorry, I think a quick trigger finger there from Dan Riccio, but that's how the Braves are rivals, and it does kind of suck because the Yankees get to play the Mets four times, and the Marlins have to play Tampa Bay four times. So it sucks for the Orioles and the Red Sox as well as the Blue Jays, because Baltimore has to play Washington, which is a very good team, and Boston has to play whichever of the Phillies and Braves the Jays aren't playing. So it's not exactly fair, but that's the way it works. Angelo in Toronto, you're up next on the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
How are you, Mike?
Good, go ahead.
We're creeping up. Listen, Mike, I got a couple of questions, and then I'll listen to what your thoughts are. I mean, first off, I just want to know, where exactly is Drabek and Hutchinson on the DL? How long? What's the status? And secondly, if they were, and I know a lot of listeners are probably thinking this guy is way over his head, but if they were contending in late August, which is my prediction, where do you see them needing to pick up somebody, a veteran? Is this Houston got anybody that we could pick up? Because, I mean, they're doing terrible. Is there anybody out there that you could see a possibility, if you could look in your ball and say, here's a guy that they might want to go after, a veteran hitter, another pitcher? What are your thoughts?
The problem for me is that my crystal ball is consistently on the fritz. I can't get the damn thing to work, no matter how many times I take it into the shop. So much can change, Angelo. So much can change between now and July 31st, the trade deadline. There is still more than 2 months between now and then. Not much more than 2 months, but there's more than 2 months. And teams that you don't expect to fall out of contention could fall out. Teams that you don't expect to be in contention could jump in. Guys get hurt. Potential trade candidates wind up getting hurt. Guys step up on crappy teams. You know, all kinds of things. To me, it's spitting in the wind to try to figure out who's going to be available, who you're going to want, where you're going to have needs as well over the course of the next couple of months.
Do you see Philly disabling some, or LA, if they don't get into the thick of things, start to dismantle some of their hitting, especially LA?
There's always a chance that the Dodgers can do that, but again, we're so far away from the time where you're going to need something like that to happen. You know, the Dodgers are only 7 games out of first place
with
110 games left. The Angels.
Yeah.
The Angels just had an 8-game win streak. So, you know, this is a good team. They're getting Jared Weaver back. It's the Angels are ahead of the Blue Jays in the standings right now. So, you know, if you're speculating on them tearing it up, you have to speculate on the Blue Jays tearing it up too, and I don't think that's going to happen. As far as Kyle Drabek and Drew Hutchison, they're still Drabek had his Tommy John end of June. And Hutchison in September, I think. So Drabek won't be back until at least after the All-Star break, and probably not by then. Hutchison won't be back until September.
Okay, thank you.
It's going to be a while. Can't count on those guys. Thank you, Angelo. We'll get one more. Anthony in Toronto. Hello, Anthony.
Hey, Mike. How you doing? Long time no speak.
All right, go ahead.
Way back. Anyways, I was going to point out that last year the California Angels were probably the exact same position as the Blue Jays. I actually went through to see how they compare. And then they ended up, except for the last 2 weeks of the season, they were in the playoff spot. The Blue Jays, could the first 50 games have gone worse? I think that's what you got to look at. The pitching has been lousy outside Casey Jansen. The hitting has been power so-so, but...
The hitting's been, I hate to tell you, the hitting's been spectacular for a month.
For a month, but...
And it was horrible for a month.
Yeah, but still look at it in terms of how they rank. Are they still not ranked like 13th out of 15 teams in the American League?
Well, but it was terrible for a month, and now it's been great for a month.
Yeah, and so I said, first 50 games could have gone worse.
Well, it's first. I would say the first 30 games couldn't have gone worse.
Okay, but they're down 50 games, and they still haven't climbed out. So the last 20 games, they've been just over 500. Anyways, I'm saying if you compare them to California's record last year, not much of a difference, and the pitching has to improve, and Reyes will come back, so there's still hope, but I'm one who was really disappointed. I was really excited for this season. I still have optimism, but the way they started, it could not have started worse.
No, they couldn't have. But it's interesting that so many people, and I've had this debate on Twitter a lot, think they're still playing really badly. They're not. Like I said, they're on a 96-win pace or something since they hit rock bottom at 10-21. First 30 games, 31, awful, but they've been really good since then. And they'll try to sweep the Braves tomorrow with R.A. Dickey on the hill. We'll see you then, 7 Eastern.